toward Jesus. Lord, give us something, Father, Lord, so we can follow you. Lord, something to apply. Lord, something to give us light. Lord Jesus. Jesus, Lord, we need you, Father. We need your direction, Lord. Show them that Abaha. Please anoint our pastor's lips of clay, Lord Jesus. Hide them in your cross, Lord Father. Show them that Abaha. Lord, to give them the word that we need, Lord Jesus. Show them that Abaha. Lord, I ask you in your holy, righteous name, Lord Jesus, to push back against the haters of light, Lord Jesus. Push back, Shandarabaha, Lord. Let us hide this truth in our heart, Lord Jesus. Shandarabaha. Rishandarabakuyarabaha. Jesus, we ask, Lord, spring up, oh well. Spring up, Lord. Shandarabaha. Your truth, your name, your protection, Lord Jesus. We just ask you, Lord, to pour back. And our pastor, Lord, pour back into his heart and his soul and his spirit, Lord, to give him the strength to stand in these days. In your holy, righteous name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lift him up. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Glory, hallelujah. Go ahead and get out my weapons this morning. Amen. We need some weapons. We got to be armed. Amen. Nobody ever goes to war and go out there and go to battle and say, hold on a second, let me go get my sword. Or nowadays, let me go get my gun or my whatever it is. Nobody ever does that. They go before they ever get to battle. You know, they back in the old days, I'm sure they had whatever, you know, sharpening stick or stone, and they were sharpening up. They were ready. It was clean. It was right by their side. So that way, as soon as they said, hey, it's time to go to battle, they were like, all right, we're ready. It wasn't like, oh, man, let me get my boots on. You know, No. No, they were ready. Yeah. So they needed every single weapon, amen, in warfare. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about slaying some giants this morning. Right. But first, I felt the Lord speaking this morning as Sister Wells teaches Sunday school. We're going to start off first in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will go there in your Bibles. Whew, man, I tell you what, I'm feeling a new love. Not that I haven't loved, and not that I haven't completely loved my Bible, but I'm telling you what, here lately I've been feeling a new love for my Bible. There's just something inside of here that every time I see this precious book, the precious words of the Lord, and it stirs something up within me. I said, stir something up within me. You know, you would look at my son over here on the front row. You may be able to see him because he's laying down. He's passed out, right? He in looking at him, right, there looks like there's no, he's asleep, but there's no life in him. It's just sitting there. But it's the way that we approach things. And so when I approach the word of God, it can be dead because it's just sitting there. Or if I approach it, knowing that there's life in it, if I didn't have faith, or if I didn't know and believe, I could approach my son here this morning. He might be dead. Am I going to I can make sure he's breathing. No, I have faith. I know this morning, he's full of life. I'm approaching it that way. I'm approaching that there is life still in him. And so when I come to the word, I approach knowing that it still gives me life. I approach the word of God that every single 66 books in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, gives me life. And so I want to read a few verses right here in chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. I don't know if I've messed my thing up or not, if you can hear me, but I'll just yell a little bit louder. Verse 1, Peter, writing the epistle here, says, this second epistle, beloved, now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Whoa. Peter's writing, so to speak, and giving us this, summing this up and making it real. And he's saying, look, remember what thou hast learned. Every once in a while, you got to go up and you got to stir within us. There's importance in stirring, right? You never, Sister Melina, she's the... all of our ladies are wonderful cooks. I don't want to take anything away from it. But you know, Sister Melina, she's a good baker. Sister Melina, do you ever just open the stuff up and, like, put it in the dish? And, like, if you're making a cake, do you just, like, open the package and pour it in and just put the egg and the oil and stuff and just slide it in there? No. She said, you got to mix it. You got to mix it. You got to stir it. You got to stir it up. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, because sometimes that's where life comes. You got to stir it up a little bit. You got. I love yogurt, Greek yogurt in a big tub, right? And every morning I come to it, and if I don't eat it for a couple days, anybody know what I'm talking about? You go to the yogurt, and there's like some, you know, the water that comes up or whatever it is, the juice, the yogurt juice. the yogurt juice is up on the top of it. I don't just scoop there and do, no, I stir it up. I gotta stir it up. And sometimes we want to live in a life, and we just say, I'm in a crucified way. Everything's coming against me. I feel the pressure, and I feel this and that, and we're going through it, and we say, oh, I'm in the crucified. So, yes, all that's true. I'm not negating any of that. Sometimes we just gotta stir ourselves up a little bit. Sometimes that's why we come in here and we shake. We got to shake off that death sometimes. And we pick up death throughout the week. Like let's not skirt or skate around it. We pick up death. We take on different things. Sometimes we don't mean to. Sometimes it does nothing we can do. Now, sometimes we purposely are going to things and receiving death. And we got to, them things got to be cut off. But either way, whether we pick it up unknowingly or whether we pick it up because we're not putting up safeguards, right? Either way we pick up, sometimes we got to come in and just shake a little bit. And shake death off. Stir up. Especially now when we live in and the enemy wants to tell you what you... Number one thing that the enemy wants to tell Christ's gospel saints right now is that it's dead. I'm telling you, that's his number one thing. Well, it's just, it's dead. It's not alive anymore. There's no fire, Rabahaya, like it was in the old days. Rabahaya, that's just a lie of the enemy. And my favorite thing telling him is say, the only thing that's dead is you, because you have already been defeated. You have already, Rabahaya, 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 You've already been cast out. Thank you, Jesus. Rabosoya. And so Peter's writing here and he's saying, look, know this first. Know this first. You're going to stir yourself up. You're going to bring back that remembrance. You're going to riskata karabhaya, be mindful of the words of the prophets. You're going to go back and receive that Old Testament scripture. And in our days right now, we're going to come, we're going to take the Old Testament, we're going to take the New Testament, and we're going to make it all profitable for us. But he's saying, first, be mindful of this, that there's scoffers coming. Walking in their own lust. And they're saying, look, the fathers have fell asleep. The progenitors, the ones that, you know, that we can look at it now in the Pentecostal movement, right? And say, well, them old timers are gone. Right? Am I telling the truth now? Y'all know where I'm going. You know, the biggest thing of the enemy and what people will say, well, them old timers are here, but it's not for our day now. We don't have to dress separated to the T. We don't have to. I'm gonna start preaching now. You know, we don't have to put our hair up. We can color our hair now. We can cut it. We don't have to dress like that. That's oppression. That's bondage. That's a bunch of bull. We got talking about this yesterday. That's freedom. That's freedom. To be able to walk up and to say, look, there's no more freedom in knowing, I'm sure, as a wife, to know that you have a husband that cares for you, that protects you, that you can just walk out and say, I know if something happens to me or I know if somebody comes against me, then my husband's going to be right there to protect me. There's a bond and there's a marriage. The same thing goes with separation and your love and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we walk in that marriage and that union and that separation, then we know that Jesus is there for us. But the minute that we throw separation aside because it's part of the fathers and they've done fell asleep now, wow. Right? That's what he's saying. And fathers are done asleep. So the motion of time is coming out, right? We saw it in Noah's day. They were evil continually. Right? And they're saying, look, this thing's coming again. So, you know, we don't have, the fathers are gone away. So why do we have to stir up that remembrance? Why do we have to do things this way? I'm here to tell you this morning, that yeah, the fathers, the old timers have fell asleep. The old timers are gone over. And they're in the great cloud of witnesses. But that doesn't mean that we don't take their witness and their testimony, Rabahaya, and we see it and we operate on faith. We operate on faith. They said, they did it, and so can I. They did it, so can I. Woo. Through faith, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, the elders, by faith, the ones that stood up in the test of time, by faith, the ones, Rishkarabariahaya, that were Zalkane. By faith, Rabahaya, they obtained a good report. Thank you, Lord. Woo, Shkabahaya. And so I'm going to finish up where we left off. Shkababahaya, Rabariahaya, yesterday in our Bible study, our men's Bible study. But I'm telling you this morning, as Peter wrote, thank you, Jesus, continue to understand and continue to notice as they, in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Wherefore the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What he's saying here is, look, you can try to justify whatever else, whatever these people are coming out, justify, justifying themselves. But he's saying, stand up. Stand up in faith. Continue operating and knowing. Stir up the remembrance. Shake off that death that tries to come. And grab a hold. Saying things that aren't alive anymore. Woo. Stir it up. Now, go over to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to pick up before we go over and talking about these giants that need to be slayed. Thank you, Lord. We need to talk about who was slaying them. Thank you, Lord. I got my tablet here this morning. Praise God. So look, Numbers 14:24. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? Amen. Anybody not there? All right. Praise God. Well, let's read it together. Let's read this one verse together. The first three words are, but my servant. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. For it is written, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. Praise God. Okay, so we're picking up here after our story. We know that it came time, where the Lord spoke unto Moses, and this is what we were talking about. We went all over yesterday. The Lord spoke unto Moses. He said, choose you out one man, one ruler, ruling person over each tribe to go and to spy out the land. How many men is that? 12, right? 12 men were sent out to go and to search out, to spy out the land. And I love it over in verse 1 of chapter 13, the Lord spoke. He says, go and search out the land that I have given to you. Right there. He didn't say go up and look where you got to go and what you got to set up and this and do. You know, he wanted to go and search it out. He wanted to know, Rabbi, for them to see and to witness what he was giving them. He had already given it to them, but it was already theirs. And so 10 of them came back with an evil report. 2 of them came back with a good report. Right? The 2 good reports that came were from Caleb, who we just read our verse about, and Joshua. 2 of the 4 people that made it into Canaan's land. Now see, think about this for just 1 second, okay, before we break down this verse real quick. So if we understand that these 2 people, not talking about the other 2 that were the Levites, Eleazar and Phinehas, that were the high priests, but we're talking about the 2 in Joshua and Caleb. To understand, Rabahaya, that every single one of them, and it's written in the scripture, 20 and over that came up out of Egypt perished, right? Yeah. Every single one of them perished in the 40 years. Now he said they went out to spy out the land for 40 days. And so the Lord spoke against him. And he said, look, you come back, you murmur, you complain. So for each day that you spied out the 40 days, you're going to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. 1 year for each day.
Yeah.
Praise God, we ain't got that deal. We complain for 1 day. Praise God, he don't make us wander around for a year. Right? Because, buddy, I'm telling you, I've been wandering around for a lot of years. Thank you, Lord. He's saying, look, this is Ariska to Corabaria Sierra Bosabahaya. They came and they said, look, and
Praise God. All right. Now y'all can hear me. Loud and clear. Listen, so that means that they came, Rabahaya, as the Lord spoken to them. Now everybody ate, right? Everybody took the blood and put it upon their doorpost and their lintel. But other than those four people, nobody else did it in faith. Nobody else ate in faith. Listen, I'm so tore up about that song, Exodus 15. I love it. Listen, they looked after the Lord took them across the Red Sea. The only thing that Rabahaya that was in their life that they could see at that point in time was that the Egyptians who oppressed them for 400 years, for over 400 years, enslaving them. And up there at the end, they were putting so much rigor on them, so much oppression on them. That was the very thing that was in their sight. They thought that that was going to last forever. And when they were set free, and as that song is written, as they crossed over on the other side and they started singing that song, they started singing, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have been thrown unto the sea." You see, the very thing, whatever the biggest thing is in your life that you don't think you can make it because of that one thing. Hey! That very big thing that was in front of them, the Lord took it and he said, "Watch what I'm going to do for you." He threw it into the sea. He threw it into the sea. Whoosh, Kabahaya. A picture to us as the sea of forgetfulness. Just take that thing and cast it into the sea. Take that thing and cast it and say, "Lord." Because these four people did that very thing by faith. They believed. They believed, so they were able to say, "Lord, all right, by faith, we're casting this into the sea, and I believe that it's going back behind your back, oh Father, never to be remembered again." See, we too plagued the very thing that plagued the rest of the Israelites. We throw it into the sea. Then we look back at it and say, "Oh, there it is again. I still see it." No, you got to forget it, right? You got to throw it in. Don't look back at it. You got to walk in faith and say, "God took that thing." Okay. So we're talking about Caleb here. Thank you, Jesus. Caleb was a mighty man of God, and we were talking about understanding yesterday. You see Caleb, you see all these four, I guess, all four of these men. The ones that were the high priest, Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron, right? And then Phinehas, right? The continuous of the lineage, those two priests. You see Joshua, and you can understand. Joshua was the person who succeeded Moses, right? He was the one. He was the general. He was the one out there leading the warriors, leading the ones in fighting. Y'all remember that? They were going out to the Amalekites, and Moses came to Joshua, and he said, "Joshua, pick you out now choice men, and you go and fight." Right? Joshua took them out and they were fighting down here at the bottom, and Moses stood up at the top and as long as he raised the rod up, which is a picture of the name, as long as he lifted up the name Yud-Heh-Vah, then they won. Right. Right? And you know that story, but his hands got weak. Sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we get feeble. And that's why we got to brotherhood. Yeah. And so as his brothers, right? The moment... And I know this ain't everybody, but the moment we recognize and we realize that our brothers and our sisters are for us and not against us, we have complete freedom. The moment that we recognize and see that your pastors are for you and not against you, we have complete freedom. Listen, I'm serious now. It doesn't matter what gets your hand weak. It don't matter. I tell people that all the time. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't. On the one side, I do care. But don't get confused here. You get me? Okay. It doesn't matter to me what people are dealing with. It doesn't matter to me. But what matters to me is that I have the opportunity to come and to pray with you. That I have the opportunity and that the brotherhood, that there is no judgment, there is no shame. The only thing I care about is you overcoming. And so you got to have the brotherhood, right? We need the brotherhood. And that's what I've listen, the enemy knows we're gaining ground. I'm serious. We're gaining ground in this church, Arabahaya. And that's why the last 3 or 4 weeks have been nothing but complete hell. Because he's trying to just put a wall up before us. But that's okay. Devil, you can put up a wall, but I see through that wall because I see through faith. I see through faith. And so the devil knows we're gaining ground. So if he's gonna stop us from coming together as a brotherhood. That's his goal. Thank you, Jesus, to just try to stop things before it gets started. Thank you, Jesus. Rabahaya, but I choose to endeavor to keep the unity, right? A choice. So we understand that Joshua looks and makes the part as one who was going to inherit Canaan's land, right? He looked the part. He had everything. He was, as mentioned in the scriptures, him being Moses' minister. You know, he was a general. It talked about him. He stayed in the mount whenever Moses came down. He stayed in the tabernacle when nobody else was there. And so you see that and you recognize, right? He's a powerful dude. Yeah. He's a powerful dude. And then you see Caleb. And there's not a whole lot mentioned about Caleb. And we see this, we come to this scripture right here that we just read, and it said that there was another spirit with him. There was another spirit with him. It ties back to exactly what we've been saying. He walked in faith. He had the spirit in knowing that everything that had happened and everything that God had done since that very portion, right, he believed it. And he knew that there was a purpose in it. He came to the manna and he picked the manna up off the ground. Rabbi, and he packed it up and he listened and by faith he said, okay, the Lord commanded us 6 days. Now we're going to do this 6 days, right? On that sixth day, I'm going to gather up enough for me to say. You know, by faith, he ate of the manna, and believed in the purpose for it. Believed that it would feed him and nourish him and give him everything. Woo. Instead of murmuring and complaining. Oh, my. So, but I want to concentrate on this for a minute here. As we read in 24, but my servant, Caleb. Y'all see that? My servant. We're never going to get away from this business of being an odd-bod servant. My servant, my bond servant, my child who chooses and wants to serve me and wants to love me. Woo. And you know, the Lord just flooded my heart with these things as I was sitting here reading. And just because you're Azal Cain doesn't mean you're not an odd-bod servant. Just because you're a leader doesn't mean you're not an odd-bod servant. Just because you're called, faithful, chosen doesn't mean you're not an odd-bod servant. Just because you're in the bride at 144,000 doesn't mean you're an odd-bod servant. But actually being an odd-bod servant is what makes you a part of these things. Right. See, in our own, you know, deception of our old man and our old fool and all these carnal natures, we this thing comes upon us. We're like, well, I made it in the bride. Well, I've grown up in this stature up here. I've come all the way up here, and we not knowingly, maybe subconsciously, act like we don't have to be a servant anymore. Don't be telling yourself now, Sister Kelly. Right, I know. Yeah, that's just over. Yeah, that's water gone down the bridge. So Caleb, he had another. Number one, we see that he was a servant. Right there, the root word is abad. It's servant. We know all these you know things of being an abad. It's a bond servant, the one that chooses. It also has the meaning of a worshiper. Right? Working, tilling, understand, which means every day, right? And since Sister Kelly's telling on her own self, I'll tell on her too. All right, she's out there talking to me last week, and she's like, you know, it just feels like something's, you know, going on in here. You know, she's like, it just feels, you know, talking about last week, a struggle, right? And so she's like, well, I don't know what to do about it. I said, well, you know, the biggest thing is we think, oh, we got to do this, this, and this, but if we just show up every day. If we just show up every time, and we just praise and we just worship and we do what we know to do. This is what Caleb did as a servant, as an abad servant. He showed up every single time, and through faith, by faith, he was able to obtain a good report. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My. You know, in talking to, and I love it because there was that one of those songs we were singing. You know, that's talking about being a bond servant, right? Either we're going to be a prisoner of Jesus Christ now, or we're going to be a prisoner of the world. We're going to be a prisoner of the world, our flesh, and the devil. The choice is ours. We can either choose to be that, and that's why Paul, we talk about it all the time. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in actual prison, but he didn't say that ain't what defines me. You're trying to keep me bound down. You're trying to keep me bound naturally, but I'm already bound spiritually as a prisoner of the Lord. So that doesn't affect me. That doesn't affect me. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I better get going here. All right, so another spirit, the same words, and y'all can go and look these up. We know that he had another spirit, and it said, he followed me fully. Not when he felt like it, not when he wanted to, not when it was convenient. Not just whenever he was at church, but he said he followed me fully. Fully, full, overflowing. Listen, the same word for another spirit and followed. Go back to the same meaning of the hinder part, behind, follow. And it's given us the meaning of following the lamb whithersoever he goeth, right? Following Aris Karabahai. Caleb had made up his mind. He knew that wherever God went, he was going. Wherever, you know, he was probably the one that was in the middle of all the people. Whenever, you know, all of a sudden there goes the ark again. It's rising up on its own and it's taking off. All right. You know, everybody's like, blow the trumpet. Let's, you know, line up. Let's march after this. But Caleb's the one in the middle like, oh, Rabahaya, guys, the Lord is on the move. I don't know where it's going. I don't know what's out in front of it. But all I know is he's going and I'm going. All I know is he's brought us everywhere that I can look behind and I can see, hey, guess what? I'm still alive. Hey, guess what? I'm still here and he even made a path for me. And I know that I'm going to keep on going. He followed him fully. Not just partially, but fully. So because of this, I will bring him into the land whereto he went. Meaning the very place that he went as he spied out the land. The very place that he went and put his feet upon. That he was able to inherit. Woo.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Right? They came up out of that place with grapes upon staffs, these humongous clusters of grapes. Oh, my. And so you keep going back and you look at Caleb's inheritance. They gave him Hebron for the inheritance. And it wasn't just that he obtained Hebron, but there were some people still there. And nobody else wanted to drive out those people. And here it is, right, Brother Tim? Caleb, 82 years old, and he still got a good report. Come on now, he still got a good report. They come into the land, and he said, look, Moses said that you're going to give me that inheritance. He said, if I'm fully and I'm able, just as it was back when I was 20, just as it was back when, because the Lord God is on my side. So go ahead and give me Hebron. Go ahead and give me them giants that are right there in that city. Go ahead and give me that land, and we'll see if I can drive it out. Because he knew that there was nothing he could do, but it was all God. Look, going back, you see, or going forward, you see the difference between the 10 and the 2. The 10 spies that came back with the evil report, they even saw their own. We're just like those 10 spies. We come back with a bad report and we say, Lord, we know you're on our side, but you know, it just. You seen those giants? We're grasshoppers. And so the Lord then, they wanted to stone. They wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. They wanted to stone them because they're like, we can't do this. And they rent their clothes and like, we are more than able to conquer. We are conquerors. We can do it. Stinking Caleb even said, their defense is gone from them. Their defense is gone for them. It don't matter how big they are. It don't matter how the giants, Rabashikanabahaya, present themselves. What matters is that God took down the fence that was around them.
Come on.
Whoo. My. Rabakarabahaya. Another word of that word is he followed him fully. It means to be fenced. It means Caleb said, I'm fenced around. Rabahaya, I done built up my hedge. I done riskatakarabahaya. I'm telling you, one day when we truly understand Rabahaya, the whole dressing and keep a thing, one day when we fully understand, here it is right here, as he was an Abad servant, Rabahaya, Rizkarabahaya, as he was keeping, as he was dressing, Rabakarabasita Rabahaya, as he was hedging about, as he was fenced. Woo! I'm telling you, this is what we have to do. We have to dress and keep. I've been feeling it in the spirit how the enemy is coming like that old serpent, like a serpent comes around and wraps around and just squeezes. That's what I've been feeling in the spirit. That thing is just wrapping around you. Thank you, Jesus. And you feel like you can't get back from it. Woo! That was one of the giants that Caleb went in. Rabasita Haya. And it said Caleb, he drove them out. He drove them out. Woo! My goodness. Help us, Lord. But if you go back and see the difference here, and even in chapter 14, verse 36. Well, that I got off. That's what I was going to point out. They saw their old ways. They wanted to stone them. And then the Lord appeared in his glory in the tabernacle and say, put a stop to it. Don't you love it? When the Lord wants to put a stop to something, he's going to put a stop to it. And so he puts a stop to it. And so they see their evil, wicked ways. And so they said, okay, all right, fine. We see our evil ways. Let's go take the land now. And the Lord said, no, not so. You go up, you're going to be slaughtered. They did it anyways. They did it anyways. Were they defeated? Yes, they were defeated. It says they went up, but Moses and Rabahai and the glory of God stayed in the camp. They didn't move out of the camp. Don't move without the glory of the Lord. Verse 36 there, chapter 14, says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. So look, you know, we think, number one, as we come up with, we let these evil reports stay around, and we murmur and we complain like the children of Israel, it not only affects us, it affected them as they spoke it out, then they believed it. That's what they believed instead of believing in the faith that God was going to do. Not only did it affect them and their hearts, but it affected the other people. The evil report that came up out of the 10 spies that said, and which returned and made all the congregation to murmur. Yeah. We got to be careful what we're saying. Yeah. Number one, not to say it, but the first and foremost, to go before the Lord and say, Lord, this is inside of me. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know where it's at, but help me to deal with it and get it out. Because we can walk around like this with a muzzle in our mouth, and we're not going to talk. But it ain't going to do no good, because then three weeks from then, and you get madder than a hornet, then everything's going to come out. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't hear it. But he said, look, because of Caleb and had this manner, him and his seed shall possess, Rabahiah shall obtain, shall conquer, Rabahiah shall have the land. Praise God, when we decide to go on for God, it makes an imprint upon our seed, upon our children. We have a made up mind. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I'm telling you what, this stuff is so good. They despised it. They slandered. But we think we're slandering something or somebody else, but instead we're really slandering God. And said what their slander was upon the land. Their slander was upon the land. Rabakahaya, the very land that God made flow with milk and honey. The very land, Rabakahaya, that had these stronghold fortified cities that was already built up that they didn't have to build. He handed it all over to him. He handed over all this rich ground, Rabakahaya, that produced these grapes and all these fruitful things. They slandered it. Wow. They slandered it. Rabakariskarabosia. Now look, go over to Joshua chapter 15. Now give me a few more minutes here. Joshua chapter 15. I'm going to prove to you here what we're talking about in Caleb and see. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, I want to go up to verse 6, and this is kind of what I was talking about here. Already making mention. Verse 6 of Joshua. I'm sorry, I said 15, but I want to go back to 14. Verse 6 of chapter 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, however you say it, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. And meaning, remember what the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, we will inherit this land. This is the portion that we will receive because we came back with a good report. Thank you, Jesus. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. It was in his heart, meaning that he had no problem seeing these things because it was worked in his heart. You're talking about what do we need to do before God? We need to approach him and say, Lord, put this in my heart. Because we could tell ourselves so many times, I could tell you till I'm blue in the face, the importance of coming in for prayer and praying, the importance of coming to Sunday school, the importance of coming to church, the importance of doing all these things at home. till I'm blue in the face. But until we put it in our heart, until we want it and we long for it and we desire it, then we're going to show up one time and do it. And then 2 weeks from now, we're doing the same old thing. That's what we have to get before the Lord and say, Lord, work this in my heart. Work this in my heart where I desire you. Thank you, Lord. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord of my God. Look, here he is, and he's saying he had already been there, and that's why he already knew, Rabahaya, that that's what he wanted for his inheritance. Listen, this was the very same place. Now here comes Caleb. He's walking up in there. Now, nobody wanted that place, and it was the best. This area was the best and the most fruitful place within the land. That's why the giants were there. That's why the giants inhabited it, because nobody was touching them giants now. Right? But here we go, and just like we was talking about Brother Tim yesterday and Brother Hinton and these people that just walked up in the middle of things, the giants were there, and Caleb just walking by saying, my, look at this land, Rabba Karabahai, that the Lord's going to give me. Hey, what's up, giant? I don't care what you're doing. This is my land, right? He walked right up in the middle. His feet had already trodden Rabahai upon that land. He had already been there. And he didn't care what was going on there in that land. He didn't care who was there. All that mattered is that God had already given it to him. Right. All that mattered is his feet already trodden upon that place. Woo! My. He said, and thy feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord my, holy followed the Lord my God. Again, time and time again, we see as it's spoken about Caleb, right? He had another spirit. He didn't have that same old spirit that everybody else has got, the same old spirit of murmuring and complaining, the same old spirit of seeing Rabbi Karabahaya, whatever thing was going on. You know, with them 10 spies, and they came back with the evil report, were they lying? Yes, they were. They were lying, Karabahaya, because they weren't in faith believing in what God had already said. Wow. They were just coming back with a report of what they saw. Right. That's the only thing that they saw, because their eyes, Rabahaya, were deceived. Wow. Right. But if our eyes are opened, the eyes of our understanding are opened and enlightened, then we go and we see the good report. The same situation, the same things going on, they come back with two different things. Wow. Yep. Woo, two different perspectives. Come on. And so go on over now to chapter 15, and let's just read there real quick. Thank you, Lord God. Let's just go over a knock. Thank you, Jesus. My plan was to go over these giants that Caleb drove out. No, we're not going to get to it. That's okay. I'm going to hold you here forever. And then go back for the rest of the giants that were driven out of, that had to be drove out of the land. Rabakahaya. Now see, they drove some other ones out as they were coming into the land. They drove some other ones out. Now some of them didn't get drove all the way out till later, because we see Goliath coming, right? Later on in David's time. Rabaskahaya, and they drove these ones out as they were coming to land, but there was a certain one, there were certain right there that were in Rabakahaya Hebron. There were certain ones that were right there, the children of Anak. So, verse 13 of chapter 15 of Joshua, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Haiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Praise God. And so here you see, you can do some studies on the giants and where they came from And you know, we'll go back to the Nephilim. Thank you, Jesus. And you see, like these, as these angels come down, back in the old days, in the days of before Noah, and you see that these angels mixed with men. And so you can go and study all that. We're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about these giants in the state that they are, and that these giants that live inside of us that need to be drove out. So if we can show up to battle, we can show up with everything that we have, all the armor, every little single thing, you know, that we can come with to go to fight in a war with other things, right? But if it's still living inside of us, how are we going to defeat that thing? Listen, listening to a guy talking about this, spiritual warfare and coming with demonization and casting out spirits and doing all this thing. And this guy was really gifted in all different areas, and he had a discernment. He had it all. And he walked into the at this point in time he was a youth pastor, and he walked into this place to cast out the spirit of this guy and other people. And that spirit looked at him and said, I'm not dealing with you because you're not in charge. And so that guy was like, okay. So then he had to go to the senior pastor anyways. But my point is, that spirit then yet spoke to him and said, listen, Rabbi, how you can come at me with all you want, but you have no control over me because you're not in charge. Now, you're talking about some crazy stuff, but we're not going to get on that level this morning. But what I'm saying is, we cannot go to defeat other things unless it's defeated inside of us. Rabahaya, if we want to drive out the giants of the land, we got to look at ourselves, Rabahaya, and say, Lord, here I am. Help me to drive out this giant. Help me to defeat this part that is inside of my will. We got it. Newsflash. We got it inside of our will. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy, righteous name. So, look, let me just real quick here. We'll talk about Enoch, and we see, because these are the sons of Enoch, and we know that we inherit things from our fathers. Thank you, Jesus. We inherit things from our parents or, father. That's why some things we deal with, things that other people don't have to deal with, because it's been passed on down. Thank you, Jesus. And even sometimes we deal with those things. Listen, I've dealt with things. I've had to drive out things that I have inherited down through my family line that I have recognized. But that doesn't mean that it's gone, that you're never going to see it again. The enemy wants to rise it back up, and you know, every once in a while, but you just got to continue. Rabahaya, get on out of here. Go on. Be gone in Jesus' name. And so we see that we want to look at Enoch and his meaning before we go to these three sons. So Enoch means to choke. This is exactly what I was made mention a while ago in that squeezing. To choke, means to adorn, as in a necklace. Thank you, Jesus. And so this is a picture. Your neck is a picture of our human will. Okay? Now listen to this. This represents the stubbornness of our will that wants to go its own way. Choosing what we will and will not do keeps us from being led by God's Spirit and Word. So this very thing right here in a knock, meaning to choke and to strangle. Look, this is exactly the thing that lives inside of our will that wants to choke. Right here. Just like this giant that comes, that is inside of our human will, that puts the choke on. Think about that. Think about, you watch, some movies or something, whatever, and you see the enemy comes, and if he gets him, strangles him, you're going to do exactly what he says, right? Or he's going to continue. That's what our human will do with us, right?
He'll continue just to like put the choke on. Oh, you're not going to do this thing? Okay, I'm going to keep choking. I'm going to keep pulling.
I'm going to keep doing this very... This is the giant, the spirit of Enoch, this giant that lives inside of our will that wants to have control of what we do and will not do. This is some... These giants now and what they're doing inside of our will and down deep inside of us is some serious stuff to work on. It's some hard things to understand, to realize, and to work on. But if we don't... Now, first and foremost, that's why I went to Caleb. That's why we went and discussed who Caleb was, right? Because if we don't follow the Lord fully first, we're not going to be able to drive out the giants. We're going to be just like walking up to that spirit and he's going to say, I don't know what you're doing here. You don't have any authority because you don't have the very authority over your own will because you don't have the very authority of your own flesh. So first and foremost, we got to turn the sword on ourselves and say, Lord, help me to fall upon the sword. Help me to fall upon the sword so that I can defeat these very things that are within inside of me that need to be out. And sometimes it can be some hard things. Represents the stubbornness. Anybody in here stubborn? I didn't think so. The stubbornness of our will that wants to go its own way. All right, let me be real now. Let me be real, right? This what happens is right, let's just, not anybody in here, okay? I know it's not anybody in here. We're talking about other people's examples, right? We just learn from their example. And so what this thing looks like is it looks like this right here. It's wrapped around our will, and we're walking our own way. And then the pastor rises up and says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to keep on shouting. We're going to keep on thinking. Toys and drinks and all the things in the sanctuary. Well, we're going to do all this thing right here. And what happens is this spirit, this that's down in our will, all of a sudden starts putting a choke off and say, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing it that way. Okay, yes, sir, Pastor. Yeah. We get in the car on the way home. We say, oh, can you believe y'all? He's talking so-and-so, but I know it's okay. Right? This is a simple example, but really, Rabakahaya, we could go a lot deeper, a lot more plain, right? This is the very thing that wraps around and says, wait a second, Rabakahaya, I'm choking this thing out. I'm not doing that because that's not what I want to do. And sometimes it's so deep inside of our subconscious, we don't even realize what's coming out. We don't even realize. That's why we have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, reveal to me. I know that there's something in here way down deep inside of me. There's some stubbornness. There's some stubbornness, Lord God. Help me to drive it out. Help me to push out this giant that comes to hinder me. Because the point of it is it hinders our walk. We can't fully inherit what God has called for us. Woo! See, choosing what we will and will not do keeps us from being led by God's Spirit and Word. Man, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Listen, a knock here. This giant played a big part in keeping, right, and with his children having rule and reign over this fortified city, this place, Arabahaya, that was raised up in Canaan's land. Thank you, Jesus. But Caleb was able, thank you, Lord God, to overcome. Caleb was able, Arabahaya, because by principle, he walked by faith. By principle, he continued to go. He followed the Lord fully, and he said, look, I got ground, and I'm going to keep on marching. I'm going to keep on going. Arabahaya, keep on pressing forward. Let's drive out these giants. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy, righteous name. All right, I'm going to stop there this morning. We'll pick up We'll finish these, and maybe we'll finish the other giants a different time. But I'm telling you, Caleb was a mighty man of God. And we got some Calebs in this church, thank you, Lord God, that want to do what God has called them to do. I know it. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to inherit what God has called for me in my life. I don't know about you. Amen. But I want to do what God has called me to do. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hopefully, you know, as we can, as we talk about some of these giants that we can see, hey, wait a second. I think that's been affecting me in my life. Wait a second. I think it's spirit. I tell you, you have to walk. You have to walk like that and say, because if we just say, oh, man, yeah, well, praise God, I'm past that portion and not worry about it, then we might stunt our growth. Yeah. We might hinder our growth. Yeah. But we have to walk by and say, wait a second. I do this, and I've tried to do this by, you know, Lord God's mercy and grace to say, wait a second, that thing's been affecting me a little bit. Maybe I need to seek the Lord in prayer. Maybe I need to get people to pray for me. This is what it's about. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Amen. Well, we look forward to being back tonight. Harp Warriors at 6 o'clock. Thank you, Jesus, as we come to war and fight and push back. Push back, drive out the enemy so that we can have a clean inheritance in this sanctuary. Praise the name. Amen. All right, well, let's stand and we'll pray. And we'll be dismissed this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Has it been good in God's house today? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, today that we come to your house, Lord God, we'd receive, Lord, our renewness in our spirits, Lord, our souls, Lord, we receive,